Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on this Getaway Friday, January the 19th, 2023. 17 and a half minutes past the hour on this very snowy morning. Probably the snowiest morning we have had of the 2023-2024 winter season so far. A little snowier than it was on Tuesday morning, but I certainly can report that it's not horrible. Obviously, I drove here, which is completely across town, and it's not bad. The roads are a little slick, but if you drive slow and take your time, everything's fine. The salt trucks are out. I just saw two of them go down a side street over here on the south end of town. So we are here, and if you're stuck in stuck at home, I think sounds better. If you're stuck at home today, stay with us because we are on today through 2 o'clock this afternoon. So it's a whole morning of programming here on WGH Talk. And because of the weather, we may have a guest in the next 2 hours. Maybe not. We'll see what happens. We'll let you know as time goes on here this morning. You know, weather does slow people down. But I'll tell you who it did not slow down. Oh, I'm getting a road report. The roads are a word I can't say. Well, we know she's listening out there this morning. We're going to talk about something that she brought up because I think it's fascinating yesterday. I want to get your take on it. Yeah, no, you knew what she said. Now, I'm going to turn on your mic here in just a second. Oh, okay. Well, our guest is here. This is good. Matt, but first, you give your little road report here this morning. What do you think? Maybe if I get your mic on. Oh, you grabbed the wrong mic.
You know, the roads are a little rough this morning. I need new tires, so it was especially bad for me. Overall, it's not too bad. There's not, like, you know, inches of snow on the road or anything, and plow trucks are out now, so.
You know, it's not really horrible. I was shocked because I come completely from the east side, so I have to go all the way down 95, down the boulevard, down Delaware Avenue, and then up the side street here to get here. And I came about 7 this morning, and it was not horrible.
No, not horrible at all.
No, just take your time and pump your brakes. That's all you have to do.
Absolutely.
We do have a special guest here this morning. And as I've been talking about really for the last 2 weeks, we did an interview last Tuesday, I believe it was, a week ago Tuesday, not this past Tuesday, with Marion City Auditor Miranda McGinnis. And boy, was there a lot of feedback on that interview. I have had people who just came up to me in the grocery store and said, heard the interview, and I know what they're talking about. It was very popular. City Councilman Jason Schauber followed with an interview last Friday, which was also very popular. So there was no City Council meeting this week because of the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday, but there will be one this coming Monday, I believe. And before that meeting, I thought it would be great if Miranda could come back in because of the popularity of that meeting. And also the feedback that we've had, I thought we could fill in some holes that maybe we did not get to in the meeting a week and a half ago. So happy this morning, on this snowy morning, that Marion City Auditor Miranda McGinnis could join us in studio again. Miranda, good morning.
Good morning, Scott. How are you?
Doing well. How were the roads for you this morning?
Well, I live about 2 minutes from here, so they weren't horrible, but, you know, my automatic car starter, a.k.a. my husband, did great, so I'm fine.
You're okay. You made it in okay.
Yeah.
Now, you've lived here in Ohio for quite a while.
About 9 years, I think.
So you've seen worse than this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Want to start off by asking you, the interview was done Tuesday, so 10 days ago. What have you heard back about that interview? Anything at all?
I've had a couple meetings with Bill Collins. We've worked things out pretty decently. We're working on getting through some budget reviews for the different departments, so we're doing exactly what I thought we would do and getting to the point where we can actually work together quite closely without having issue. I've had a couple meetings from some of the newer council members, which has been great. But I haven't heard anything from the public yet. So I'm glad they're talking to someone.
They are talking. Well, it's interesting you have met with Bill. How did that happen? Did you reach out to him? Did he reach out to you?
No, he actually came into my office the next day.
Oh, the day after the interview.
Yes.
And what did he say?
He apologized. He said there was never any intention of bullying. He's just, as you know, working in law enforcement for as long as he did, he's used to operating in facts, and those were the facts. And I told him, I said, I appreciate it, I understand it. It just came off a different way. So
now, as far as the bond, because this has become an issue, Jason Schauber brought up the bond. Did you hear that interview with Jason last Friday?
I heard about half of it, maybe two-thirds.
So Jason brought up the bond again, the $250,000 bond. Has Bill brought this up? I know you said he did in the first meeting.
Right.
Any word on that at this point?
No, I haven't heard anything as of right now.
Now, so what have you and Bill ironed out besides he should have approached you better? I guess he apologized for that.
Right.
Which is a very nice thing to do.
Absolutely, absolutely. That was really about it. I mean, that, and he agreed that we need to get to the point where we can work together and not have any issues. And so we've been, really, that's been the main focus, is making sure that we can continue to operate as a team on behalf of the city.
Now, this is interesting because Jason Schauber, when he was in here last Friday, I said to Jason, you know, because the third reading of no confidence had happened at the last city council meeting, mm-hmm. and I said, are you guys going, city council, when I say guys, going to continue the process of trying to remove Miranda? And he said, if she just gives us a plan, if she just lets us know what she's going to do, you know, I'm willing to work with her. So is there a plan to help the auditor's office go forward, prevent fines, something laid out?
Yes. So the plan right now is obviously to get the bank reconciliation project done. I've reached out to Greg Blate. He's our representative of Veritas Solutions Group. Hopefully we'll have him at council on Monday, if not sometime soon. From there, we should be able to get everything over to Charles Harrison Associates, who's working on our financial statements. We're also working with the state to close out the audit for 2021 and then move into 22.
Do you think, because I assume council will ask this on Monday, mm-hmm. do you think this will be hopefully a stopgap in, okay, I'm working to change things that maybe heretofore I have not, and this will help Marion move forward?
I would hope so, but obviously I can't put my mind in the minds of nine other individuals, so.
Now, I don't mean to drag a lot of this back up, because it sounds like you and Bill are getting along now and everything's better. But there was a question. There are just a few questions here. When Jason Schauber was in, because we talked about these meetings that went down, mm-hmm. and he said he agreed with you pretty much. I don't think he disagreed with you. I think there was only one point where he disagreed. He said, yes, he remembered the first meeting, mm-hmm. Although he did say he did not know Bill was coming to that meeting, that I think the law director had invited him without Jason knowing, and Jason had called that meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was the meeting where it was brought up the first time. Think about your kids, think about your family, the whole thing there. Think about your house. But no offer of any transit job at that meeting that he could remember at the first meeting.
Right.
And then he said the next thing he knew, there was a meeting about paying some fines. And at the end of that meeting, I can't remember if he said Martin Watts had said, can we talk? Or if you had said, can we talk? But everybody went up to went to a conference room at
right.
City Hall. And he said, yes, Mayor Schertzer was present for that. And Bill and the law director, Mark Russell, and he was present for that. And you were there. And Martin Watts was there.
Mm-hmm.
And he said in that meeting, Martin says to Bill, or at least in that direction of the table, is the deal still good? And I guess it's said that yes, it is. And a paper is brought in during that meeting. Now, this would have been December 11th for you to sign. And he said it said something about transit. He said he didn't know what it was. He did not witness you sign it. So what was all that? What was the deal even referred to by Martin Watts at that point?
The deal at that point was for me to resign and then go to transit. At that point, I don't recall ever having... I know that there was an offer letter to be written, but I never saw it and I never signed anything. The only thing I signed was my resignation letter.
So you were in that meeting, though?
Yes.
Yeah. And Mayor Schertzer didn't say anything and Jason did not say anything in that meeting.
Like I said, I don't recall if Jason said anything in that meeting. I don't recall exactly where the words were coming from. I just know, and to Jason's point, I do the same thing. I kind of picture the room again and who was sitting where. I just know from the general direction of in front of me,
yeah.
people were saying things. But I never signed anything beyond my resignation letter.
Just to clear this up, because this is what Jason and I, talking about last week, couldn't figure out, because he had the dates of the emails and all of that, mm-hmm. and he said he called the meeting on November the 30th.
Right.
That was the meeting that Bill showed up at, I guess invited by law director Mark Russell. No offers were made at that point. It was just, you know, out of concern, he said. Be careful. We don't want you to get into some serious trouble here. He said when he showed up on the 11th, the deal was already there.
Right.
So I guess what we're kind of confused on is what happened between November 30th and December 11th. How did that deal about the transit job come to you, and who was there for that? Because Mayor Schertzer said, yes, I was at that meeting on December 11th, mm-hmm. but I was not present when the offer was made.
I honestly couldn't tell you how that deal came about, because I never mentioned anything about transit. I never discussed anything about transit. Honestly, I kind of, my mind does not think about anything other than the current job I'm working on. So it's not like it was even on my radar, let alone, oh, I should see if I can go get this job instead. And Bill and I had discussed that at one point, and I said, I never brought up transit. Those words never came out of my mouth. So I could not tell you where that deal came from. I could not tell you what happened, how it came about. I'm not sure.
Do you remember the first time you heard about transit? Obviously on November 30th, this is not talked about. December 11th, it's
right.
to the point where Martin's saying, is the deal still good?
I want to say it was somewhere within the first week of December, and I was having a conversation with Martin Watts about it, and we were talking about possibilities of things that I could do after, because I had made some mention about how I was looking at jobs just in case anything did happen, and he was like, well, what about transit? And I said, I don't want to go to transit.
Martin Watts says, what about transit?
Yes, but I couldn't tell you if there was a meeting or what the meeting happened, when it happened. I couldn't tell you what all that was about.
So how did you know going in on December 11th, without the particulars of the meeting, who was there, all that,
right.
that there was a deal and you could go to transit? How was that conveyed?
I believe it was through Martin. And again, I know it was out of concern, and he and I had several conversations along with my internal auditor about the concern with the bond call and all of that. But I guess I hadn't pieced it together of what was going on, if there was a meeting between the two of them, I wasn't there for it. I didn't know about it. I didn't know when it happened, so I don't know what was said.
So basically, to be clear, we're just trying to clear things up this morning, not make anything any more difficult for anybody. And in a lot of ways, clearing things up, I think, will help, because I'm sure it's going to be a topic during Monday City Council meeting. So basically, what happened is there's a meeting on November 30th that Jason Schauber calls to just talk about your job performance.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Collins shows up at that meeting, invited by Mark Russell, we believe.
Right.
Jason didn't know he was going to be there. During this, and Jason used the term hijacked. He felt the meeting was hijacked by Bill.
I heard that.
Yeah. Bill comes in and says, think about your family, think about your job, think about your reputation. But no resignation happens on November 30th. No offer of the transit job happens. So then at some point you're talking to your deputy auditor, Martin, about what am I going to do when this is over? You know, if I do end up resigning, if I do end up leaving, what's going to happen to me? He says, well, what about transit? Because that position was opening up the first of the year.
Right.
So at some point he goes, we have to infer here to Bill Collins at some point, I would guess.
I would guess.
But you're never a part of that.
No.
And says, Bill, she's interested in transit if it's available. And Bill says, yes, that's doable. Martin comes back to you, says, yes. And then on December 11th, after this meeting about paying fines happens, you go up to the conference room and Martin says, is the deal still good?
I think that's a safe inference, everything that you kind of recapped, apart from the things that I was present for, because we don't know. And I wish that I did have a little bit more information, just because it's been kind of gnawing at me in the back of my mind. But at the same time, I have a job to do, so I don't really worry about it. Now that I'm staying in that job, I kind of I don't want to say forget that it all happened, but at the same time, I don't worry about it anymore because it's not a concern. Because the concern right now is the job that I have in front of me.
And absolutely. And I think and we're going to get into that job in just a second. But I think what is confusing to a lot of people is, and again, just to clear things up, we were sent a letter that Bill Collins sent out on December the 12th, which was the day after your resignation. Mm-hmm. Have you seen this letter?
I have not.
We read it during the Jason Schaber interview, so it went to city council members, I do believe, and it was in regard to your resignation. So it was the day after the resignation.
Oh, I have seen this.
Sorry. Yeah. And I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's a full page, but what it does say, and this is where it gets a little tricky, it says, after several conversations with Auditor McGinnis, she made her own decision to resign her position effective January 5th, 2024. As such, it will be my responsibility to find a qualified replacement for the Marion City Auditor, who will be in place until the general election of 2025, when that position will be placed on the ballot once again. I feel that with this selection and implementation of the Director of Budget Management position, we will make great strides in remedying our financial crisis. However, it will take all of us working together to that end. During these discussions, Auditor McGinnis expressed her desire to fill a position that will be vacant when I take office January 1st, 2024. This position is that of Transit Director, who is responsible for the day-to-day operations of the Marion Area Transit System and the 30 or so employees who work in that department. I feel that it is the right step for the City of Marion to allow McGinnis an opportunity to show that she is able to manage a much smaller department with far fewer responsibilities and allow her to prove that she is up to this responsibility. I have advised her that when I am able to officially make the appointment, I would do so, and we would monitor and evaluate her ability to run this department moving forward. The position would have gone unfulfilled, and we would not have someone to manage that position beginning January 1st, 2024. So I think this was the confusion on the listener's behalf, is that in this letter, the day after your resignation dated December 12th, he says that you expressed your desire to fill that position, and there's a little bit of confusion there.
The only thing that I would say is that by me saying okay in that December 11th meeting is what he's considering, quote, expressing my desire. I, like I said, I had never really thought about going to transit. There was a time where in between, obviously before the 11th meeting and after the November 30th meeting, there was a time where I was thinking about it and genuinely mulling it over, but it wasn't ever my main goal, my main intention, my main, oh, let's go to transit. Like there was no, that was never truly what I wanted. So again, that's where I kind of go back to what I said about the December 11th meeting. I felt cornered, and I wasn't entirely sure of what else to do other than resign and go to transit.
So when the line is said that you made your own decision to resign under some pressure at that point.
Right.
Yeah. So I think that's a little ambiguous. So would you say that that letter is on point that came out December 12th?
I would say from Bill's perspective, it's on point, yes.
Okay. Now, the other thing is the transit department, because somebody also brought this up, was a salary quoted to you for the transit department?
No, but I know that it makes around the same as what the auditor makes, so I was told that it would be, I guess it was quoted, but not the dollar figure. You'd be making what you're making now would be what I was told, but it wasn't ever explicitly stated how much, because it's within a range. So yeah, every salaried position within the city, with the exception of the elected officials, is within a range. So I was just told you'd be making what you're making now.
Well, what's interesting, again, goes to how many people listen to this thing. We were sent things, and the pay of the last director who went out on January 1st was $66,144 a year, which the auditor's salary is $64,000 at this particular point. So a lot of people were saying you were going to a job that was going to pay more and right, might have a lot of less stress. So was the money at all important in any of this? Because your house keeps being brought up in these
right,
conversations.
For me, it's not about the money. And I made mention of this in our last interview. I said I've never gone without a paycheck unless it was a choice. I am a relatively resourceful person. If I need employment, I'll find employment. So I was never concerned about whether or not my bills were going to be paid. And it was never... I may have made jokes about it at some point about how, ooh, I get a pay raise if I go to transit. But I never would have thought, hey, I'm going to go to transit because they make more money. I'm going to go wherever because if that was the case, I wouldn't have unresigned when I found out that the $80,000 pay increase would have been, you know, vetoed.
Yeah.
I would have stayed gone. But that's just, that's not how I think. I don't think money first, responsibilities later.
Now, when it comes to, again, and this is more, and I wanted you to come in today just so we could clear some of this up, because when you get, it's very interesting that when somebody does an interview and people start hearing about things, you hear a lot of rumors. And I thought, let's just clear these things right up.
Sure.
And this one has been sent to me by a couple people that Bill at some point threatened you with charges, criminal charges. Did that ever happen?
That's quite a rumor.
That was quite a rumor, and that did not come from me. That came from somebody else.
No, I don't think the word criminal charges have ever been brought up.
Good. So we can lay that one to
the
side. Yeah,
I think that one can be laid to rest sure.
Yeah. So basically, it was always just... When you look back at it now, mm-hmm. because Jason said he felt that he was just trying to be caring. Do you see it like that now more than a threat?
When... After having conversations with both Jason and Bill and hearing their sides of the story and everything like that, I can see their perspectives, yes. Jason, I 100% believe, did do it out of concern, out of caring for me as a person, because I do believe he's that type of individual. Bill, I can understand from his perspective, it was very cold, hard facts, and that's what he works in, and that's what he's used to, and I can see it from that perspective, too. Unfortunately, do still kind of take my perspective into account, which I think we all do. We're all biased that way. So I don't think my mind will ever change about how I took it, but I do see both perspectives now.
When you look back at this now, because we do have a little bit of time in between it, 10 more days than we had before. We were just coming off the city council meeting, your first city council meeting back. As you look back on this whole time now, what do you think?
I think it's still tumultuous, you know. I think it's always going to be a roller coaster period that I look back on, but I don't necessarily think it had to go that way. I think there could have been a lot more conversations about what was going on, how things were going to happen, because again, there were other meetings in there about, you know, meetings with the state and meetings with our bank reconciliation project and things like that, information that's come to light since then that I think really would have been helpful. And I think if there had been just a little bit more time to get those meetings out there, get that information out there, I think it would have gone a little bit smoother. But I also know that not everyone can be present for those types of meetings. So I think the biggest thing to take away from all of this would be just to improve communication. And that's on my side as well as everybody else's side. If there's questions, ask them, please, because I'll be honest, I'm much better one-on-one instead of sitting in front of a bunch of people in a council meeting. I can answer questions one-on-one a lot easier. I tend to get stage fright, so I'm not big on standing in front of council, but I have to. So I do my best. I know it's not great, but I do my best. So, the biggest thing for me is just to improve communication on both sides.
You know, it's interesting because we talked last time about a meeting that had happened the week that you rescinded your resignation, the week ending January 5th, in which you said Bill had come to your office. Is everything still good? You said no. And this was a heated conversation. As a matter of fact, you said this was the angry dad conversation.
Yes.
You know, now this is after offers had been made and all of that. This is an angry person, you said at that point.
Right.
So what do you think happened between that time and less than a week later when he comes to your office the day after the interview and says, I'm sorry that I behaved that way?
I truly don't know what would have happened between those two periods other than the council meeting, but I'm grateful for it. You know, like I said, I think the main goal here is to move forward and get past all of it, and I think we're doing that. So I think that's the biggest thing.
Now, does Bill want you to stay in this position at this point? Because we really don't know with council right now.
Right, and I don't have an answer for that. I haven't asked him that question.
What does he say in the meetings in regard to the auditor's office? What are his concerns at this point?
His biggest concern is that we're having actual positive momentum, which we are. It's just slow going because of how much mess we've gotten through. So, you know, he was present there. We had several meetings on January 4th. He was present for both of those. He's aware of the trajectory that we're on right now as far as getting things tied up with the bank reconciliation project and moving forward with the audit. He's aware of where we stand with the state coming in. So he's aware of where we're at with all of those. Now it's just a matter of making sure that we have representation from Veritas Solutions Group that can also present that same information.
And again, it's hard to get into somebody's mind, but do you think that this apology would have happened had you not finally said how you felt and how you felt things went down?
My guess would be no, but again, I can't one way or the other say what Bill would do.
Now, when it comes to transit, and this has a lot of people worried, and this is also something that does deal with the auditor's office, because I guess the grant for transit does come through the auditor's office. Jason Schauber said that Friday.
Every penny comes through our office, yeah.
So what is going on with Marion Area Transit? Is it in trouble?
I don't have a whole lot of information about that. I do know that ODOT, Ohio Department of Transportation, just changed their fiscal year from December 30th, 31st to they changed it to June 30th. So their end of year is now 6 months later. That may be where part of the confusion is coming from, because it looks like rather than having a full calendar year's worth of grant money coming in, we're only going to have 6 months. So I know that was actually part of the conversation that we had, myself and the previous transit administrator before she left. We had had a conversation about that, and she was worried about some reporting that was going to happen. But that I think would be the only main concern, is that it looks a little funky because they have that transition coming through this year.
And we had talked last time, because this became an issue of the last city council meeting, about how it looked as if you were being sent to a position that may not be there.
Right.
So was that ever talked about with Bill?
No, I hadn't really had a conversation with Bill about that, because all of that came to light so rapidly, and those rumors circulated. I mean, rumors circulate in City Hall relatively quickly anyways, but I think it went from no information to being bombarded with information and rumors in about 2 days. And at that point, I was still focused on, even though I wasn't going to be in the office, I was still focused on being in the office to make sure I was getting work done. So I didn't really have any conversations with anybody outside of my office for 2-3 days at that point. And then the very next day was when I rescinded my resignation.
Now, one of the reasons this all became a big issue was there were rumors back in late December, early January, that you had gotten a lawyer and that you were not going to leave the position. Half of that we ended up figuring out was true, that you did not leave the position.
Right.
But you didn't have a lawyer.
Right.
And just this week, and I sent you this, and this did not come from me because I would really not know about this, we got this code. I guess it's Ohio Revised Code Section 2905.12, in which you cannot, it deals with coercion in public officials. And basically what it says, and there's a whole lot to it, but people can look it up. No person with purpose to coerce another into taking or refraining from action concerning which the other person has a legal freedom of choice shall do any of the following. Now, there are several things on here, but 3, 4, and 5 seem to be of the most interest from the person who sent this to me. And it's expose or threaten to expose any matter tending to subject any person to hatred, contempt, or ridicule, to damage any person's personal or business repute, or to impair any person's credit. That's 3. Number 4, institute or threaten criminal proceeding against any person. We've learned that that did not happen. Number 5, take, withhold, or threaten to take or withhold official action or cause or threaten to cause official action to be taken or withheld. Do you feel any of that happened during any of this?
I mean, if you think about it, it can be perceived that way. I guess I don't really... Can I read through that real
Yeah,
quick?
Go right ahead.
I'm a visual person. I have to read it, otherwise it doesn't make sense. I think it could be perceived that way, definitely. But I wouldn't necessarily... And this is all pending whether or not I were to actually press charges, which I'm not thinking that far. I'm not heading in that direction because for all intents and purposes, our goal here is just to get the city moving forward again and not worry about the past. And that's my main goal. I'd rather get past this than worry about it continually. So I'm going to say no, nothing happened, but it could be perceived that something did.
Now, do you think, and again, this is just your opinion, do you think this apology happened because what happened did come out and it wasn't looking very good on Bill's behalf at that point, and he thought, maybe I need to do something here to stop this?
You know, again, I can't really say because I'm not Bill, but I feel like that's a possibility, but I couldn't really say.
Do you think at this point he would stand up on your behalf if council did continue to go after your job and say, don't do this?
Oh, probably not. But that's because I don't have anybody in that building that would do that. So that's not necessarily... What am I trying to say? That's not that I don't have council support. I don't have anyone's support, really, which is understandable. They've been frustrated for a very long time. And I'm not in any way whatsoever upset by that. I understand why they're frustrated. I get why they're frustrated. I just don't think that... I don't think anyone would go out of their way to stick their neck out for me and defend me in that way.
Even though you are getting along with Bill at this point.
Right.
Right. Because it is interesting, because we talked about this last time. On election night, when he was elected, he did say he was not ready to give up on you yet, and he was not going to ask for your resignation. And I think that's also partially why a lot of this was very confusing when we got into December, which is really just a month later.
Right. No, and I agree. I mean, and to your point, you know, election night, we discussed it, and I said at that point, there's no resignation in my future, and then less than a month later, I resigned. So it's, I think, overall, it's a very confusing situation if you don't see all the details played out, and I can understand that.
So was a lot of this, and certainly not on your behalf because you did not send any letters out or anything like that, but, you know, the letter we read from Bill on December the 12th that he obviously felt he had to send out after the 11th resignation and council meeting in which he was accused of offering you a position, mm-hmm. After the interview that we did the previous Tuesday, 10 days ago, after Mayor Schertzer said he wanted to know what the contents of this deal were and that it kept getting shadier and shadier. Do you think a lot of these were just missteps on Bill's behalf? Maybe being a new mayor shouldn't have handled it this way, being that he has apologized now for something.
Right, right. And I think that's a definite possibility, too. I think that having gone from no political experience to all of a sudden being mayor, I feel like there's a lot, and I've said this a million times, and I'm going to say it again just because it's true. There's a very steep learning curve anytime you enter into a political position, and I feel like maybe things like this could have happened before where he was employed, which I obviously can't speak to because I wasn't there with him, but it may have been a method he's used before, and he thought maybe it would work this time, and we can't do that. So
and just for people who might be tuning in, we started, and I think this is very important. The day after the interview that we did, Bill comes to you and says what again?
He apologized.
And says...
He's used to operating in facts, and that's all he was doing at that point, is operating in facts, knowing that these are concerns that I have outside of employment and that those are the things that we have to worry about.
So Monday, it's my understanding that Jason, when he was in here on Friday, said he is going to ask Bill what went on here.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think this is what... Again, you can't get in Bill's head, but from what we hear... he's apologized. He feels he might have handled that situation wrong.
Right.
Do you think that's what we'll hear Monday at the council meeting when Jason asks him this question?
I would hope so. Only because that's the truth. At least that's what I was told. So I would hope for consistency's sake that, yeah, that would make sense that he says the same thing.
Let's hope so. Do you think council will handle that well, knowing how they operate?
I don't know. I say I don't know not because I can't get in the head of, you know, nine people, which I can't, but because there's nine of them. They're nine humans. They have nine different sets of emotions, nine different sets of perceptions. So I have no idea how that could go.
Why do you think council feels that you have given them no plan?
Likely because it's the same plan that I've had for a long time. And I can understand that, you know, when you're told over and over again that something's going to happen and there's no real change. Now, granted, that doesn't mean that there hasn't been any activity on that plan, because we have for months been working on a lot of things, trying to get things to move forward. And up until, I want to say, early January, we didn't really have, we kind of hit a stuck point. There was a couple different things that happened all at once. We started working with the state. The state pointed out some other information that we needed to worry about with our software program. We started working with our software program a lot more closely. And then the state gave us a green light on a couple other things to work with on our bank reconciliation project. So a lot of those things, again, and this is where I kind of just wish that I had more time. All of those things and the way that they lined up, because we had more time to work through it, now gives us more time to work through the other finer details of it all. And that's it's very linear in progression, and that's where I kind of get frustrated, just because if we did have a little bit more time, if I just got a little bit more time to work with the state or a little bit more time to work with Veritas, things would go so much better. And
how much time do you need?
That's a great question. Yeah. I have no idea.
But I think counsel sitting there would say, Jason was very reasonable in this matter last week. He said he does not want to take force to send you out of this office.
Sure.
But he just needs something. He needs a plan. He needs a change in that office. He needs something.
And maybe that's what I need to do. Maybe based on that, I should physically write down, you know, and issue some sort of written statement of what it is that we plan to do and when we plan to do it by. So that, I mean, thanks, Jason. That's a possibility.
Well, I think Monday, the previous city council meeting, you were asked, were there going to be any changes to the office? And mm-hmm. you said no. And I don't think that went over well with them.
Right. And it didn't. And that's understandable. You know, one of the biggest questions they had was, how do you plan on restructuring your office? And I said, if it happens in the future, it happens in the future. But right now, I don't plan on restructuring it at all, because the staff that we have already been working on the projects we've been working on for so long. It's kind of the same situation of what happened at the auditor's office in 2020. You take the people that have the knowledge and you remove them and you have a vacuum. I don't want to create another vacuum. But if in the future, after these projects are done, there is restructuring, that's completely understandable, because then we won't have necessarily that same vacuum.
Again, something else I just want to clear up this morning, and this has to do with Martin Watts, because this has been brought up. And for those who don't know, Martin Watts did work under Robert Landon.
Right.
Then he was the interim auditor in the time that Robert resigned and before you came in and were appointed. People have a lot of question in his position, because he was there under the auditor that a lot of people failed mm-hmm. and resigned. He was working in that office, and people go, well, why didn't he know anything that was going on? And then he's interim auditor, and nothing really got better, but he wasn't there a whole long time, so I don't think he can take any of the blame for that. But he's been working under you, and people keep throwing out things that you resign, we might have to remove you, so on and so forth, and he's under you. And again, people feel not helping these problems. And he's also a part of this kind of the go-between of the deal. He seems to be in the picture a lot of times,
yep.
but nothing's getting better with he either. Now, he is not an elected official.
Correct.
So that's that. But do you feel comfortable with him? Because I think a lot of people are starting to say, why is he not able to help along here? He's second in command.
I do feel comfortable with Martin, and actually, we joke about it now, you know, 2 years later, but I actually fired him at one point. The day I came into office, I think he made it to lunchtime before I dismissed him. So he got about 4 hours into his day before losing his job.
What happened there?
Well, excuse me. I walked into the office and there was a whole lot of stuff going on, and I couldn't really, you know, first day stuff, you know, you're getting computers set up and all this other junk. And I didn't have any communication with Martin. I think I'd been to 2 council meetings at that point, and I still hadn't met him yet. I was finishing up at my old job, which was 2 weeks, obviously. So I didn't have time to get into the office to meet anyone. And I walked in that first day, and Martin was clear on the other side of the room. I walked into my office. Anyone that hasn't been in the auditor's office knows there's a set of cubicles and a couple desks, and then there are individual offices off the main room. And so my office is off the main room, and Martin was sitting at one of the cubicles on the other side of the room. And so I came in, and my administrative assistant at the time kind of walked me around and introduced everybody. I swear Martin was avoiding me like the plague. And I couldn't tell you if that's actually what was happening. I just know that it seemed like every time I walked around a corner, he was clear on the other side. And to be honest, I took some bad advice and I listened to the wrong person, and I was told that he was saying things about me. And I let my temper get the best of me and I dismissed him.
A lot of people feel and have said on this station, people who are a part of this station, they feel he's out to sabotage you, is pretty much
right
what they're saying.
Right, and I've heard that too. I actually, before I brought him back, because to be honest, I made it about 2 weeks before I brought him back. That's a lie. I made it about 2 weeks before I realized I needed him, and then I took another week to let my pride get over that, and then I called him back in. I had a conversation with him before he came back, and I looked at him and I said, are you going to have a problem with me being in this chair? Not because I'm a woman, not because I'm younger than you, but because it's not you. Are you going to have a problem with me being in this chair? And he was like, no, I don't want the job. Okay. Because that was the main concern, was that he was going to do something because he wanted my job. Now, granted, this was a year, 2 years ago now. Feelings could have changed. Martin and I work really close together anyways, so we communicate well. I think that while there may be things going on, there's no ill intention behind it.
And again, this is just how this is going to read from the interview today. And I think a lot of people are going to be very happy that Bill came down and apologized. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people are going to be very happy that you and he are working together. I think you've given some plan here, which I think that'll make a lot of people happy. But I think what will remain uncomfortable is now knowing, which we did not know in the first meeting that you and I, interview that you and I did, is that Martin is the one who felt comfortable enough to go to Bill and say, hey, I mean, because it's my understanding you did not tell him to do that.
Correct. Anything that he does is of his own volition, and I would not have twisted his arm, and I wouldn't have asked, because, again, I didn't want to go to transit. While I love and appreciate the department and everything that they do for the city, transit was not for me.
Right. So I think people are listening to this morning and saying, you didn't ask Martin to do this. You were just talking. You work in the same office. You're just talking to him about this.
Right.
He goes to the person who can make it happen, makes it happen, and then at some point comes back to you and says he's willing to do this, to where you go to a meeting on the 11th, and Martin, again speaking apparently on your behalf at that point,
right,
says, is the deal still good? I think people hearing that would go, why is he in this? Why did he do that?
And that's kind of my main question too. If at the end of the day, I know we all look out for each other in my office. We make jokes about how we are a big family, and that's what we do. We want to make sure everybody's safe, everybody's protected. But what would his motivation be behind any of that would be my question.
It would look, I would think, to a lot of people, whether he wants the position or not, like he was trying to slide you out. because you say you had no intention to resign.
Right.
You did not want to resign. You didn't want to go to transit. And he makes a deal for you to go to transit. That sounds bad.
It does sound bad. It does sound bad. But I'm not, again, I don't, other than keeping me safe, keeping me protected, giving me some kind of security, I wouldn't see his motivation behind it. And that, I guess, is the one question that I would have for Martin is, okay, if that's not your motivation, tell me what is.
Because would you have done that? If the shoe was on the other foot and you're having a conversation that you think is private in your office,
right?
Would you go to the person who can make this happen and make it happen?
I don't know. Yeah. And I realize that I don't, I feel like I've said that a lot today. I truly don't know because I've never been put in that situation before. And it's not that I'm not capable of speaking for myself. It's not that I'm not capable of having these conversations myself. I just, again, I'm the type of person that if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. I'm going to give myself the resolve to go out and have these conversations, find the solution to my problem. I'm not used to other people looking out for me, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So to have someone look out for me always, it felt a little weird. And I wasn't prepared for that. And so that's the only motivation that I would be aware of is that he was doing it to look out for me.
We're chatting here with Marion City Auditor Miranda McGinnis. We got to take a short break here for news, but we'll come back with Miranda. And we're going to talk more about the auditor's office in depth because one question we've gotten is what does the Marion City Auditor do and how did we get to where we got and where are we going to go from here? So we're going to cover a lot of that after this short but important break.
Listen and talk over the air with us. Just call in 383-9944. We would love to hear from you, and we'll hear you on the show.
Over the Back Fence with Pastor Steve Whitaker and Scott Spears every Friday morning here on